Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager. You alive over there?
I'm alive. April 20th of 06.
April 20th. Now, you were the great hunter today, weren't you?
Yes. I never know what I'm going to be doing the next day. Today I was hunting a possum under Dr. Hovind's house.
And you were able to slay the wild beast?
Yes. It was pretty wild. It was a big possum.
And the Lord took him home. The
Lord took him home.
Okay, good. Amen. I'm still coughing. I can't believe it. Old age catching up. This is
April 20th of 06.
April 20th of 06. So if you're listening live on April 20th or 21st if you're in New Zealand, we're here. You can call us. We're the right-wing radicals who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. There has never been a dumber idea than to teach all the kids, y'all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago, and the rock soup, God, the oceans, rocks got rained on and turned them into soup, and the soup came alive, and that first life form found somebody to marry, started producing kids, and some of them kids were different than the rest of them, and pretty soon we got elephants and whales and hamsters and peacocks all from a rock. I mean, it really is dumb when you stop and just think about it. They must not be thinking. The Bible says, you know, God will send people strong delusion so they would believe a lie. You would have to be deluded by God himself to believe something like that. And we're here to help. We honestly want to help. That's what we do. I was a high school science teacher for 15 years. And now for 17 years, I've been an evangelist doing seminars, actually almost 18 now, seminars on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. And we take the position that the Bible is literally true and the evolution theory is dumb. And you can call us on the program if you agree or disagree. It doesn't matter. That's fine. We're right. They're wrong. But you can call us 877-479-DINO if you're in the U.S. 877, toll-free, 479-3466. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. That's AOL instant message. Or you can email us off our website, which is drdino.com, drdino.com. How else can they get a hold of us? I suppose you could send us a letter, come by and stick it on the window. If you come to 29 Cummings Road, Pensacola, Florida, stick it on, look for Building 3, and stick it on the window. You'll see Robert in there with his earphones on, and right there by the moped, right? Is that Eric's moped? Yeah, right, yes. By Eric. Look for the red moped and stick it on. Is your moped still running?
It is. Yep, running good.
I ran out of gas today in my van. First time in my life I've ever run out of gas in that van.
You know why? Because you went all the way to Alabama and Mississippi looking at those two camps. I was wondering when you were going to fill up. You didn't fill up on the way over there and you didn't fill up on the way back.
Well, it's got a 33-gallon tank.
Okay.
And I got these boots from Army Surplus for $25, you know, yesterday, that I'm going to take to Papua New Guinea. And the guy said, bring good hiking boots. And you plan on wearing them out in 1 week. I mean, they're going to be trash when you're done. He said, it's rough.
Wow.
We're going to Papua New Guinea in a month. And so number one, they're new boots, okay? You got to break them in. Number two, I'm out of shape. So my daughter, whose husband died, 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
I've been trying to spend time with her every day. So we drive 7-8 minutes down to the beach and run in the sand with my new boots. People look at me kind of funny, you know, when you have boots on at the beach, but I don't care what they think. I don't ask them. They don't ask me. They just look at me strange when you have big army boots on running along in the water.
In the water?
Oh, yeah. I go in the water with them. So the guy said, you're probably going to cross 50 creeks, rivers, or streams a day. They're going to get soaked and dried and soaked and dried. So I got the kind they use in Vietnam. You know, they got the little holes that the water weeps out. They're really amazing. I mean, they're still wet, but they're not uncomfortable wet. They're not sloshing around. I mean, you get out of the water, take 3 steps, and it's like, you know, it's tolerable.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm impressed with the
getting in shape.
With the army boots. But in fighting the battle of the bulge. Bulge is winning just a little bit, but hey, we're working on it. Okay. We're going to read a couple testimonies and then get to your questions. You can instant message us. I think I clicked all the buttons, signed on. Yep, okay. And a lot of people watch our videotapes on creation, evolution. And if you want us to come speak at your church or camp, we do a lot of those. We defend the Bible as being correct, and evolution as being dumb. And you can contact us right away, and we'll get to them. Okay, here we go. Smiley face. Our secretaries that get all the emails put either frowny faces or smiley faces on, whether the people are happy or sad. Most people, I'd say 75 to 90%, it varies, you know, week to week, are very happy. They see our videos. They love it. It strengthens their faith and or gets them saved. That's a good goal. Here's a testimony, smiley face, from April 19th, 06. That is, what, yesterday. Okay. Charmaine Canny writes it. I would like to thank you. About 9 months ago, I was given a set of your DVDs. They changed my life and the lives of my children forever. I always believed in a God, but I have found Christ through your DVDs, and my son DJ talks about Kent Hovind, Christ and dinosaurs and the age of the earth to everyone he comes in contact with. I've been told to watch him or he'll turn out to be a fire and brimstone preacher. He's only 10 years old, and I'm proud of him. We live in South Africa, not far from Pretoria. Hope you enjoy South Africa, and hope you will come back again. Thanks again, thanks again, thanks again. God bless. Okay, well, thank you, Charmaine. I am coming to South Africa, Lord willing, in August, I believe. I'm going to get a lot of sky miles this year, Robert. Go to Papua New Guinea next month. I'll go to Tucson, Arizona this weekend. Hey, by the way, who's the guy? Jonathan would remember the name, but always calls in from Tucson. That's an evolutionist. Calls into the program all the time. Oh, man. Hey, if you're listening, Dave, is it Dave or?
I'm not sure.
Somebody from Tucson. I'm coming to Tucson this weekend. Whoever it is, that's an evolutionist there that calls into the program. If you would contact us tomorrow at the office here, or contact the host pastor there, tell him I said I would like to take you to lunch, breakfast, or dinner, whatever's available. I always let the host pastor do the scheduling so there's no conflict. But that'd be great. Be glad to take him out for a meal and talk to him and get him converted. That's the goal. They're not the enemy. They just work for him. That's all. The devil's the enemy. Another smiley face. Cleta, C-L-E-T-A, Pierce, writes it. Dr. Hovind, I attended your lectures at the Valley Bible Fellowship in Bakersfield, California last month. I've been watching your videos for 10 years. What a blessing to just shake your hand and see you in person. I could almost state your lectures verbatim since you have been in my home for so many years. God bless you richly. Cleta, C-L-E-T-A. Well, thank you, Cleta. I'm glad you enjoyed the stuff. And now, spread it around. Okay, one. Oh, frowny face. Here we go. Lord. The Lord wrote in. Wow. This guy thinks he's the Lord. Boy, is he in for a surprise judgment day. One time, this guy went to a mental institution, Robert, and there's all these people in there that are just, they're nuts, you know. And this guy is standing there with his hand in his shirt like this, you know, and through the buttons. And this guy says, visitor walks up and says, and who are you, sir? He says, I am Napoleon. And the guy says, well, and who told you you're Napoleon? He says, God told me that I am Napoleon. The guy down the hall hollers out, I did not. Here we got a guy who thinks he's the Lord. Here's the preacher I heard one time preaching. It was good. He said, I get a lot of anonymous letters. He said, I've gotten so many anonymous letters. They say, I'll call me all kinds of things, but then they don't put their name on there. He said, I finally got one that signed their name, but didn't send the letter. And he held up the note. All it said was, fool.
Yeah.
Signed their name, but forgot to write the letter. Okay. The Lord writes in and says, times... Timmels, beetles, things that make evolution look stupid. I guess he's referring to my article on our website, Dr. Dino, about things that make evolution look stupid. Jonathan does that, not me, by the way. I've only read a couple of them. Jonathan does a great job on the website. Beetles, things that make evolutionists look stupid. And this is the Lord's comment. He says, by the arguments used in this article, I could say, look at a shark's teeth. They couldn't possibly fall into its mouth like that. Then only stupid people are you. What does that say, Robert?
Do not understand that.
Then only stupid people are you. You are the most ignorant people ever to grace this planet. The sooner God kills you, the better. End of email. Okay, well, Lord, first of all, let me just point out, God can kill me anytime he wants. That's perfectly fine with me, okay? He's in charge of those things. And he can protect me until that time, so nobody else can kill me. Nobody can until God allows it. And I'm ready to go and actually anxious to go, okay? I've seen all I care to see down here, okay? But as long as God leads me, I'm going to try to be faithful to him. As far as shark's teeth, I don't recall ever saying they fell into the shark's mouth. I do think the shark is amazingly designed. I would have to say, from my 15 years of teaching biology, every single animal is amazingly designed. We have a video series of three videos by Joe Martin, my good friend from Dallas, Texas. They're called Incredible Creatures That Defy Evolution.
That possum was amazingly designed.
Yeah. Does he have a splitting headache now?
Yeah, he does.
He does. Okay. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. The Lord wrote it. Here's one who doesn't sign his name. Anonymous from the famous Anonymouse. Oh, here's his return address. blah@blah.com. In other words, I'm not giving you an address. I'm not giving you a name. And his phone number. 1909 Dumb. So, no phone number, no address, no name, but he does have a comment. This is real brave. This is typical, you know, slap and run, and you don't even know who is slapping. I am saying this out of anger and spite. However, I do believe that people are entitled to their own opinions, so... Man, these guys must not go to school. I do believe that people are entitled to their own opinions, so, A, ask for your forgiveness for this next comment. I think he meant to hit the I on the type. The I is a long ways from the A on the keyboard. I don't know. Oh, well. Okay. What's wrong with you people? You are so stupid. Well, we'll finish from the concerned individual's comments in just a moment, folks. We'll be back in 2 minutes and get to your questions and comments. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live, whenever it is.
April 20th, 06.
And you're over there pushing buttons like crazy. People are typing and sending emails. We're the right-wing radicals who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466. Or instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive, or email us off of our website, drdino.com. Now, Robert, we talked to you about a month ago about getting a health tip ready to give every week to our staff meeting on Wednesday morning.
Yes, sir.
We could do that here on the radio, too, you know.
Today?
You got one ready?
No, I can have one ready for tomorrow, though.
Okay. Just a little, you know, 5-minute health tip, since you've studied health and nutrition for so long. Might be good. If you intend to live in your body the rest of your life, like I do, you may want to listen up, okay? All right. You might want to come visit our Dinosaur Adventure Land. We are having a blast. We're still having a little battle with the county over the buildings, but, you know, that's, you know, to be expected. But you can get still come visit. We're open and doing fine.
Tiffany was telling me we have like 100 kids coming tomorrow.
We have a bunch. They come every day.
Well, tomorrow's supposed to be a pretty big day, so.
Good.
Still coming.
Still, oh, yeah. Still coming. Get CSEblogs.com if you want more on that, CSEblogs. Okay, and here's the instant message. We'll start on those. We do take phone calls first, though. If you get impatient, got to have your question answered, call in, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Here's from Dawn Marie, who writes in. Genesis 1:1, the light. In Genesis 1:1, when God said, "Let there be light," what was the light? Does the Bible give us an answer? If so, where? If not, you have a theory of what this light might be. Well, I do. I cover that on videotape number 7, especially if you get the new 2005 edition. There is a lot of stuff in there on, let's see, oh, there we go, Seminar Part 7, Days Before Sun, What is the Light? In English, we have one word, light, that quite obviously means two things, okay? I can point up to the ceiling and say, that is the light. But it produces something we call light. So the light fixture produces light.
Right.
Okay, the two different things. light source and light itself. Let me find it here. Days before sun. This is on videotape. Oh, here we go. Got it. Videotape number 7. Slide number 1308. That's why it took a while to find, Robert. Okay, but I found it. Genesis 1:3. God said, let there be light. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Well, see, in the Hebrew language, they have two different words, where we only have one, light, that means two different things. And people understand by the context, you know, hey, I'm going to mount this light to the wall. Well, we know what you mean. You're not going to mount the light. You're going to mount the light source to the wall, okay, the light fixture. Then in verse 16, Genesis 1:16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Interesting. It just kind of as an aside here, it says, hey, he made the stars. Like, it's no big deal, you know. By the way, evolution theory has the stars being formed first and then the earth. Bible says God made the earth first and then the stars. Absolutely backwards. Everything about the evolution theory is backwards to the Bible. So, he made the light in verse 3. If you read Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. Let me shrink this down so I can see who was asking the question. Who was that? You don't have all those, do you? You sent them to me. I got them right here. Oh, from Dawn. Okay. Dawn, if you turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 21, or you can just write this down, look it up later. Verse 23. It says, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb is the light. Interesting. The first 13 verses of the Bible, there is light, but there is no sun. The last 26 verses of the Bible, there is light, but there is no sun. You don't need the sun to have the light. God is the light thereof. He is the light. So it starts off, first 13 verses, light but no sun. The Bible ends up, last 26 verses, actually twice as many, light but no sun. I suspect, just purely suspicion, that God created the sun later so that his people would know you don't worship this thing. All the ancient cultures worship the sun in some way, okay? And the sun is great. You got to have it. I like it myself. But you don't worship it, okay? It's just, you know, it's a necessary thing to have. Just like oxygen, and you don't worship that either, and water, and rocks to stand on. Sure, I'll worship those. So that's my take on it, is there could be light with no sun. God himself is the light. Now, there is I go through the Hebrew or and mayor in here someplace. Let me see if I can find that out of my 1300 slides. No, I guess I don't have it. There are two different Hebrew words, or and mayor. Or means the light, and mayor means the light source. So the Bible says he created the light, and then later he created the light source. And I thought I had that in here somewhere, but at the 1300 and... how many slides? 1,327 slides. It would take me a while to find it, but it's in part 7. And you can download all my slides, by the way, off of our website, drdino.com. And those are just the ones in part 7. Okay, Dawn, hope that helps. If not, call in. Okay, Johnny Aware 666 writes in, Dr. Oven, I heard you mention the missing goal from the towers last week. Do you believe 9/11 was perpetrated by elements of the government? Johnny, I do. There is a DVD... Robert, you got to see this one, the newest edition, Loose Change, newest edition. This follows the 9/11 in plain sight.
This is the Loose Change 1 or?
Loose Change 2nd edition. Parts.
Okay.
By the way, it was a loose DVD. The case got broken in the mail coming to me. But there are, you want the website you'd want to go to, Johnny, if you want to study this. First, I would start off with 9/11 in plain sight. You've seen that one.
Yes, P-L-A-N-E, plane.
Plane, like an airplane, right. That's 911inplainsight.com. I believe, is the website, something like that. Then go to loose, L-O-O-S-E, change, C-H-A-N-G-E, loosechange911.com. loosechange911.com, and just see for yourself. Look at the facts and say, you know, our government blew up those buildings.
Right.
And blamed it on the terrorists so they could get the Patriot Act passed so that they could take away your knives at the airport so that they, you know, for whatever reason, okay? These guys have their big plans, you know, for their one world government, new world order, and, huh.
I don't know if I'd call it a conspiracy theory anymore. It's only a conspiracy until...
it's proven.
Right, until it's proven.
It's not a theory. I would say it's pretty well proven.
Right.
There are some evil people who want to control the world like Pinky and the Brain. Okay. So, yes, I do believe our government was totally involved in that, okay? Johnny Aware goes on to say, Dr. Rovin, heard you mention missing gold. Oh, same question came twice. Okay. Yeah. Why all that happened and exactly what happened when the Twin Towers came down, I don't know all that stuff, but there was a huge stash of gold bars in the basement of the Twin Towers, which came up missing, like billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of gold. Where is it? Oops, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And if you think jet fuel would melt those beams enough to cause those towers to come down, you need your head examined, okay? Just watch the videos and you be the judge. And then I don't want to talk to you until you, you know, watched them. Get the information and then we'll discuss it. Here's one from Anonymous. I've had letters from Anonymous. This one's from Anonymous. Never met Anonymous. A dinosaurs in the millennium. Anonymous writes in, will there be dinosaurs in the millennium? I would give that a pretty qualified yes, I think so. I think some are still alive right now, actually. God could create them again, or they could come out of hiding or something. That is correct. Either one of those could be the case. Don't know. There certainly appear to be some dinosaurs in hiding. We shall see. There have been a lot of reports from places like Congo in Africa, Cameroon, Zaire, Venezuela, Peru, Brazil boundary. New Guinea. Yeah, Papua New Guinea. Coast of California. Just watch our video number 3. We cover some of those on there. Folks, we'll be back right after the break and get your questions. Get them in right away to Dr. Dino Live. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live in Pensacola, Florida.
April 20th of 06.
April 20th. Man, time flies. We have a very special guest in the studio. Now, what is your name, ma'am?
Kaylee
what?
Hovind Dad.
Kaylee Hovind. And how old are you, Kaylee Hovind? 3. And you are grandkid number 2, right? All right. And you're 3. And you know a verse in the Bible? Which verse do you know?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1.
Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You don't think it happened all by itself? You think God did it? Yep. They can't see you nod your head, but that's good. Yep, God made the whole world. And you like living next to Dinosaur Adventure Land and playing and all the stuff, right? Is your brother Matthew out there? Yep, is your mom going to take you guys out to the playground and play on all the swings and stuff?
Mm-mm.
No? Well, she should. Did you see that skin somebody sent us over there from a leopard?
Mm-hmm.
Go feel how soft it is. It is really soft. Yep. No, the cat's not in there. Oh, just the skin. The cat is not there. He died. But they saved the skin because it's nice and soft. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? That's going to go in the museum. Okay. All right, go out and tell your mom you're in here. She's right outside. Go tell your mom where you're at. Thanks for coming, Kaylee. Love it, Robert. Got to have 10 of these grandkids. Your dad's going to have a bunch someday, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
9 kids.
And 7 girls, so.
Wow. Yeah, that'll be a bunch. We had a guy come here a couple months ago that had 91 grandkids. He had like 12 or 13 kids, and they had a bunch of 91 grandkids. That'd be pretty cool. He wouldn't remember their names. I mean,
nah, he wouldn't.
Who are you? You one of mine? Yeah, one of yours. Okay.
Sit on my knee.
Sit on my knee, sure. All right. We can answer questions, or try to anyway, on the subject of creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. Because we believe the Bible is true and the evolution theory is stupid, el dumbo, and retarded. But that's okay if you believe it. We can help. We have the technology to help you. Call into the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, which many people have here, and I'm working on them. Okay, Hakon, H-A-K-O-N, Lindquist. Now, H-A with the circle above the A must be Swedish or Norwegian or Finnish or one of them Scandinavian countries, I believe. Hakon Lindquist writes in, Genesis 9:12. Since the rainbow first had its appearance after the flood, the light characteristics in the pre-flood earth had somehow to be different. Oh, Hakon, I don't know that I would agree with your premise. In order to have a rainbow, you have to have light, but you also have to have moisture, water droplets in the air. The light has to shine through the moisture droplets. So the light characteristics could be the same, just no moisture droplets. No. So I'll read the rest of your question, but I think I would have to question the premise here, first of all. Okay, here we go. Next part says, could this underlie the possibility of an ice sphere around the earth and that this sphere of ice had not an even surface, since it had to bend the light or divide it into a spectrum of colors, so that we could not get a rainbow in the pre-flood earth? Yes, I think I understand your question. I don't know that there wasn't a rainbow before the flood. It appears like there wasn't, okay? The Bible simply doesn't say. The Bible says at the end, Genesis 9, when the flood's over, they get off the ark, and God said, I'm going to set my bow in the clouds to be a sign that I won't flood the earth anymore. Now, these idiots who believe it was a local flood, think about it. God promised he's not going to flood the earth anymore. So if the Noah's flood was a local flood, then God lied. How many local floods have there been since then?
Lots.
Lots of them, sure. Oh, there was a cool thing on TV last night. I didn't quite get it TiVo'd in time. On the History Channel, about once a dam that burst. It failed. And they had somebody got video footage of it. If anybody out there has video footage of that from last night, the History Channel, the dam that failed, I mean, you can see, because I teach, Grand Canyon was not formed by the Colorado River. Grand Canyon was formed. It's a dam that failed. A big one. Mm-hmm. The biggest one, actually. But that's all it is a failed dam. The Kaibab Plateau was breached by the huge lake that was behind it and formed Grand Canyon probably in 2 weeks. Or less, certainly not millions of years. Anyway, so we cover all that on video number 4, if you want to get our award-winning video series off of drdino.com. So anyway, I don't think we could prove there was no rainbow before the flood, but I suspect there was no rainbow before the flood. Okay? And so God set the bow to be a sign that says, I'm not going to flood the earth again, indicating whatever happened in Noah's day was real different. And what we have today, the local floods, is not the same as Noah's flood. Call Hugh Ross and tell him I said that, okay? But as far as pre-flood world not being able to produce a rainbow, that's probably a more likely scenario, that the high pressure with the canopy squeezing the air down into 10 or 20 miles, producing maybe even double atmospheric pressure at sea level, would be a better explanation of why you could not even get clouds to form. Because they have to have... You know, usually when the weatherman says low pressure coming in, that's a sign, you know, hey, things are falling apart. Weather conditions are going to deteriorate. It's going to rain. Okay, hope that helps. Andrew writes in, Ice Age and Judas. Andrew, can you explain to me in more detail about the Ice Age? And I'd like to know what you think about the latest gospel found that's according to Judas. I guess they're sending this to me to answer. On video number 6, we call it the Hovind theory, so nobody else gets blamed for it. In case it's wrong, and it may be wrong, I don't know. But we cover the Hovind theory about the Ice Age, the flood, what caused the flood in the days of Noah. There are a couple of theories among creationists. Dr. Baugh, my good friend in Glen Rose, Texas, who's on TBN, probably has the most broadest outreach creation ministry on the planet. He reaches 8 million people a week. I don't know anybody that comes close to matching that. So I guess it could be argued, you know, who has the most effective or the most outreach for creation is probably Dr. Baugh from Glen Rose, Texas. Anyway, He thinks that God spoke, or that the sin of the people on the earth caused the earth to rupture, and the fountains of the deep broke open. The water that used to be in the crust, you know, burst out along the seams, which today are probably the fault lines, and this water came shooting to the surface. That's one theory. Another theory is that an ice meteor struck the earth and caused the cracking of the continents, cracking of the crust, releasing the water that used to be underneath. If you look at Psalm 24, verse 1, and Psalm 136, verse 6, the Bible says pretty clearly that God founded the earth upon the seas. The original creation that Adam saw was very different. It was mostly land, whereas today the earth is mostly water, and the water that's now on top in the oceans used to be in the crust of the earth. That's the water that came shooting up when the fountains of the deep broke open, Genesis chapter 7. And the earth still bears the scars where this happened. Now, the best, as far as I'm concerned, the best theory to explain all that is Walt Brown's hydroplate theory. I think he nailed it right on the head. The water that was underneath acted as lubrication. While it is shooting out along these cracks, it allows the continental plates to move around and slide around and bang into each other and form overthrusts and crumpled mountains and a whole variety of features that can be best explained from the hydroplate theory. You can see that on Walt Brown's website, Creation Evidence. No, that's Dr. Baugh. CreationScience.com. CreationScience.com. So, as far as the Ice Age, there are two theories among creationists that I'm aware of, two major categories of theories. One would be that the Ice Age caused the flood, and that's the theory I would agree to. I think we got struck by an ice meteor, and then that caused the flood, which lasted for a year. The Ice Age lasted probably for 200 years after the flood. The second theory is that the flood caused the Ice Age. It doesn't matter to me. It just, you know, think about it. It's a model. It's a skeleton to hang the meat on. Oh, let's see. Okay, as far as the Gospel of Judas, I am not familiar with that. Robert, did you know anything about that, the Gospel of Judas?
Heard about it a couple times, but no, sorry, I don't.
I'd have to say I don't. Sorry, I don't know what about it. If you would contact probably Bible Believers Bookstore, is that?
Ruckman's or?
Yeah, that's one. I got it. Or there's probably stuff on the internet about that. I don't know. Gospel of Judas. Try avpublications.com, see what Ripplinger says, or Bible Believers, kjv1611.org. That's it, isn't it?
Yes, that's Ruckman's. I'll look around, too.
Yeah, see if you can find Gospel of Judas. I've never heard of it. I mean, I've heard of it, but I know zero about it, absolutely nothing. Okay, now there are two Judases. Jesus had two disciples named Judas. Of course, there might have been a lot more Judases, okay? There's a common name like John, but Judas Iscariot was the one of Jesus' disciples, and then Judas, I forget the name they had for him, but the two Judases were actually disciples of Jesus. One betrayed him, the other did not. Actually, they all did at one time, but they all forsook him and fled. Who cares? Okay, here we go. Banjani Daba writes in. Hi there, Dr. Hovind. I was wondering if you do offer any free downloads on your creation series. And if so, will you please send me those? I am a South African, and your calling blesses me. God bless you. Bye. Okay, yes, Banjani, you can download my video series, a couple of them from our website, but we don't put them all up there because it chokes our T1 line down. But there are other people who have them available to download a whole variety of places. Just search the internet. There's quite a few. Do you know of any? Where they can download the videos. I know a lot of people can do it. Somebody said they're free to download on Google. I don't know what that means. How you do that? Is there a Google download? Jonathan would know all that. I'll tell you what. Email jonathan@drdino.com and ask him about the download stuff, because he does our website. He'll know about that. Okay, Dwayne writes in, Dr. Hovind, I called and spoke with you on April 10th. By the way, your two jokes on original financiers were well received by my Catholic friend that I am witnessing to. Ah, yes. You know the two jokes about the financiers? The greatest financiers
in the Bible? I've heard them, but I can't remember them. Go ahead.
The two great financiers in the Bible. One was Noah. He floated his stock while the world was in liquidation.
Mm-hmm.
The other was Pharaoh's daughter. She drew a little profit from a rush on the bank. I had to think about them for a while. I love jokes in general, and I really like Bible jokes.
Those are good.
I have hundreds of them. let's see. Do you know where motorcycles are mentioned in the Bible?
No, I never heard of that one.
Oh, yeah. The noise of David's triumph was heard throughout the land. Or tennis. Tennis is in the Bible. Joseph served in Pharaoh's courts. Golf is mentioned in the Bible. Ananias and Sapphira got caught in a bad lie, but they both hold out and won. Baseball's in there quite a few times. In the big inning, you know, starts off that way. Adam stole first. Eve stole first. Adam stole second. Rebecca went to the well with a pitcher. We can go all day on Bible jokes. Don't get me started. Okay, and jokes in general. And Polak jokes. I know you're Polish, so I could tell you slow, Robert, but you know, I know lots and lots of Polak jokes. Love them. Here we go. South African. I hope that helps. Okay, snake with legs. So you like the jokes about the financiers. Good. I'm glad you did. Dwayne goes on to say, I was reading this morning's Fort Worth Telegram, and they had the article below saying that they accidentally discovered a fossil of a snake that had two hind legs. Obviously, there are no pictures, but an artist's rendering of the hind legs. I was amazed at the clarity that the artist drawing had of a 90-million-year-old thing of bones. I am in the wrong business. Laugh out loud. Anyway, I am sure the skeptics will be calling in droves today. Actually, Dwayne, it's amazing. The skeptics don't call anymore. For the first couple of years, I had some that called regularly, but now they seem to be chicken because they don't want their questions answered. And they're afraid if they call with a question, they might actually get an answer. Oh, that terrifies them. Here's what it boils down to, Dwayne. They like the evolution theory. It gives them freedom from God. That is the bottom line. They don't want God telling them what to do. So anyway, as far as the snake with legs, I would like to see this. Not an artist's rendering. I would like to see the bones. Okay? See the evidence. It is true that many snakes, pythons, boas, many large snakes have claws down near their hind end. They don't have a hind end. Down near their tail, which starts at their neck, I guess. And they have these claws, which are used in mating. They have nothing whatsoever to do with walking on land. They have to do with getting baby snakes. I mean, the snake doesn't have a voice box. He can't talk and say, "Scoot over, please." He doesn't have any arms. I mean, he's got to use his little claws to maneuver things into place. So that's nothing to do with walking on land. Anybody tells you the snake has legs and points to those claws is an imbecile when it comes to their biological understanding of this situation. It is not. The snake does not have legs. Okay. Now, whether it did or not, I don't know. The Bible says it was cursed, and the curse was crawl on your belly. Well, it's not a curse to crawl on your belly if you're already crawling on your belly. So something was different. Either it had legs or it had wings. We don't know. I don't know, that's for sure. But now it is cursed, crawling on the belly. Okay, anyway, it goes on to say, but I wanted to ask your opinion of this from your video series. You said that it was never hind. You said that it was never hind feet, but used for mating. Thanks, from Dwayne. Yes, Dwayne, those claws on the snake are not hind legs. They never were, they aren't now, and they never will be. Okay, pythons and boas have them. Okay, Girl for God writes in. If God is a spirit, how are we made in His image? Good point. Well, we have a moral image in that He has an appreciation and understanding of right and wrong that's just built into humans. Also, there are three parts, according to the Bible anyway. There's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. The word is never used, but the concept is certainly taught. And there are three parts to humans. We have a body, soul, and spirit. Jesus, when He died on the cross, said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." But His body is still hanging there on the cross. They took it down, put it in the grave. But in Psalm 22, it says His soul went to hell to preach to the captives there and let them out Ephesians 3, led the captivity captive. So Jesus had body, soul, and spirit. We have body, soul, and spirit. And that concept is taught over and over in Scripture about the dividing the joints and the marrow. Where's that verse? Hebrews 2, spirit, sword, dividing asunder. It's okay, I can look it up. It doesn't matter. But anyway, the Bible talks about man having three parts, body, soul, and spirit. So we are, maybe that's the image of God. Maybe it's a moral image. Certainly since God is incorporeal, no body, though he can take on a body when he wants, he can do whatever he wants, or he's not God. I think that's a theology question that we covered in theology class years ago. I'd have to go back and look up all that. There's about 20 different ways that we are like God in the theology books, but I don't remember them all. One thing, I was working 40 hours a week and taking a 20-hour load in college and sleeping 3 hours a night, and I fell asleep in class a few times, I'll have to confess. I was tired. Okay. Most of the guys in school were tired. We had one guy, my roommate, he lived across the hall from me. He wasn't my roommate, but he was in the next room. He was the guy who put the tires on the semis 8 hours a day. I mean, those tires, it was mid-sized trucks, the C60, the kind they would use for a dump truck or a school bus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those are big tires. He would lift them up, inch, slide them on, bolt them on 220 times a day, 8-hour shift. That would get old. He slept good. We'll be back, folks, in just a minute. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Still coughing. This is Kent Hovind and Robert Sager. This cough's been about 3 months now, 4 months.
I keep telling you about that cayenne. I think I got some around here.
Put
somewhere.
Cayenne in your nostrils and it makes you quit coughing or something, right?
Yes, sir.
Cures everything, right?
That's the health tip for the day.
Health tip for the day. Eat cayenne by the spoonful. I just haven't brought myself to do it. I don't even eat black pepper on my food, Robert.
You just take a little bit, an eighth of a teaspoon, put a little bit of water, and you can get yourself used to it.
I don't want to get used to it, but it'll help my cough, huh?
It'll help your cough, and it'll get you ready for Papua New Guinea.
Get me ready for Papua New Guinea, okay. Okay, well, I might do that. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us on the program here, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. And here we go, instant message from, by the way, we take phone calls first, and our one lonely phone line is wide open. Call in if you want your questions answered. This one is from Carolyn, who writes in, I thoroughly enjoy listening to your teaching sessions on MP3. Well, good. Robert, is March done?
It is, and I've got about 5 more seconds to go just transferring it. I can't seem to find that bigger disc you're talking about.
Oh, the big 5-inch disc?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to squeeze it down smaller?
Yeah. Hopefully Pablo knows how to do that, but I didn't talk to him today.
Just write smaller. Get a sharper pencil. Or how do they do that on the disc? I don't know. Okay. Anyway, I'm enjoying listening to your MP3. By the way, folks, if you're listening there, if you'd like to get past programs, we have all of January on one MP3 for $10, all of February on one MP3 for $10, all of March on one MP3 for $10. That'd be 3 different ones. But if you want to get those, it's the whole month. Sometimes it's, you know, more programs than others because, you know, sometimes I travel.
And sometimes when they do tune into this program, it's real staticky and breaks up, but it's really clear on the...
It's really clear on the MP3.
On the archive. Right?
There you go. Perfect. Because we're recording it direct, live.
Right.
First hand. Okay. Or first mic, mouth, whatever. Okay, I was just wondering if it's possible for me to listen to your radio show up here in Saskatchewan, Canada. What times and what station is that possible? Thank you. Okay, Carolyn, as far as radio stations, I have no clue. Any radio station is welcome to pick up the program and rebroadcast it. We only broadcast over the internet. At least, we just send a phone message to Richard, and he does it from there. Richard, if you're listening, tell people how the radio stations can get you, can get the program and re-air it. Because I know... That's perfectly fine. You can go to truthradio.com and send Richard a message and ask him, you know, how do we do this? And he can take care of all that. But as far as Saskatchewan, I've only been to one place in Saskatchewan. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Where was I? I'm going to get the map out here. Oh, there we go. It's in the background. Saskatchewan. Let's see. There is more. All right, I flew to Saskatoon. I remember that. And then we drove a long ways up to about... let me just zoom in a little more. I remember flying to Saskatoon. Red Deer. There it is. Red Deer, Saskatchewan is where I preached. And then we drove back at 4:30 in the morning to get to the airport in time to catch the early flight to get home. And I got to watch the Northern Lights for a full hour and a half out the car window. Have you ever seen the Northern Lights?
Not besides on TV.
It is unbelievable. You have to go sometime.
Your wife hasn't seen it either.
Nope.
She told me.
I've only seen them twice. I was in South Dakota once preaching up there, and the Northern Lights were just lighting up the whole sky. It was incredible. Up in South Dakota, I didn't think they came that far south. I guess they've actually been seen in Florida a time or two. They get, but I haven't seen them since I've been here. Okay, let's see. So Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, don't know. I know you can get on the internet. Anybody can get internet anywhere in the world. But as far as radio stations, you'd have to ask Richard about that. Here's an instant message from I Love Kent Hovind, number one. I got two fans now, my granddaughter and whoever this is. It says, hello, I have a question today, part seven. You talk about things like the Rock of Moses, where the Israelites fled, etc. All this happened 3,000 years ago. How could they still be there? Oh, and the Google video is like Google only. It's video search. Well, keep up the good work. The world needs more men like you. Well, thank you. I guess Google video is not something you can actually watch online. I don't know. I know you can see a couple of them on our site. Several people have put them up on their websites to watch. If you just type in Kent Hovind on a Google search, your computer will melt down because there are some there's a lot of people that really don't like me. It's almost funny. I enjoy, once in a while, I look through a few of the sites like, oh, you guys have got to be kidding. You can't really believe this stuff. All right, so the Rock of Moses. Yes, we covered that about, is that the rock that Moses smote 3,000 years ago? Well, yeah, rocks would last a really long time. I don't think there's any problem at all with a rock lasting 3,000 years. The evolutionists would say these rocks have lasted millions of years. So that's not a problem, 3,000 years for a rock. That's young. Okay, but we do cover some of the amazing sightings, discoveries of Ron Wyatt and others from WyattMuseum.com. Just go to Wyatt, W-Y-A-T, museum.com, and you get all kinds of cool stuff about the discoveries he made, like the crossing of the Red Sea. By the way, today or yesterday, Robert, is the Hebrew commemoration of the crossing of the Red Sea. This is the anniversary. Soon, right. Like today, I think. Today or yesterday. Gilbert called me. Gilbert's full of information on stuff like that.
Who's Gilbert?
Gilbert's a buddy of mine from Texas who is really knowledgeable of the scriptures and of Hebrew traditions and customs and stuff like that.
Was he on Hugh Ross?
I don't know.
Video? Because you had like answer session afterwards?
No. Gilbert... he does roofing. He's got his own construction crew. He's been here several times. Got a big beard.
Okay.
In the museum, the tower beside the Red Sea crossing is him standing on top, you know, with his arms out. He climbed up to the top of the tower, and it was leaning.
Oh, I seen that, yeah.
Yeah, that's Gilbert on top. So, Gilbert, if you're listening, call into the program. We'll let you tell about what was it about here?
Red Sea crossing.
But you can go to WyattMuseum.com and see some of the amazing videos. Actually, you can order all of Ron's discovery videos, $100 for the whole set, right off our website, drdino.com. Just get the Ron Wyatt's discovery videos. Now, there are some creationists, some Christians out there, good people that love the Lord, that think Ron Wyatt was nuts, okay? And they get upset with me for even mentioning him. And I say, boy, it's a good thing I don't work for you. I'd get fired, wouldn't I? Because I'm going to keep mentioning him. I think what he did was good. I don't agree with him on everything, but I think he had a lot of good research. You have to eat the meat and spit out the bones, for heaven's sake. Okay, here we go. Verbal Dementor writes in, are you going to do a Rabbit Trail DVD on the Muslim religion? Would be a good idea. Question mark, exclamation point. Oh, I just can't fight every dragon in the world. There are some really good books. Hey, Leia, can you get me the books on Islam? Who is this Allah? And stuff like that. I saw them, I think, down here. Yeah, anything in there, the green ones. Who is this Allah? There are many good books available on Islam already. And I'll give you some references of how to get a hold of them. You can go to, there you go, chick.com, C-H-I-C-K. Uh-huh, good, good, good. and get some stuff. There is a book by Robert Morey, M-O-R-E-Y, that is excellent on Islam. It's called The Islamic Invasion. The Islamic Invasion. Robert Morey, who's the publisher of this one? Wrong page. Harvest House Publishers in Eugene, Oregon. So, Confronting the World's Fastest Growing Religion, Islam. Here's another one by G.J. O. Moshe, M-O-S-H-E-Y, called Who is This Allah? Good question. Who is Allah, anyway? Published by Dorchester House in Bucks, UK, United Kingdom. This one is available, I believe, on chick.com, C-H-I-C-K. I know it's one we sell. You can get it from us, drdino.com. But it's, hey, Leia, look up on the website and find out how much this one costs. What do we sell it for? And write it in the front cover. It's about 180 pages. Really excellent questions to ask Muslims. Also, Leia, if you can go to the shipping and get the two other books about Islam that we sell, the comic books, The Prophet, and the... are they here? They should probably all be with everything on Islam. Yeah, this one is awesome. The history of origin of the Muslim, that religion. The Prophet, it's called. And it is, I think, $3. Excellent. Excellent stuff. Oh, okay. on Islam. Thank you, ma'am. And it, what's the other one? Muhammad's Believe It or Else. Oh, is that a funny one? Muhammad's Believe It or Else. It goes through some of the dumb things they teach, like if you pray looking up to heaven, your eyeballs will be snatched out of your head. Muslims have one intestine, non-Muslims have seven intestines. That's what it says in the Quran, or in the Hadith, one of those two. One of the guys in the Hadith, it's, and by the way, Muslims are required to believe that. I think it's the Hadith, or maybe it's the Quran, that says the sun sets in a pond of murky water at night. Sun goes down, that's where it goes, sets in a pond of murky water. That's all in that. Just go to our website and look up Muhammad's Believe It or Else. It's comic book style. Lots of pictures, lots of cool stuff on, you know, this crazy religion. Okay, so Rabbit DVD on Muslim. I don't know. Probably not anytime soon. I'll be glad to do it if I get time. Here's one from, what are your thoughts on this website, msnbc.msn.com? And do you have any plans to continue the Bible and Health video with Dr. Tyler? I do have plans. We have wanted for some time to do a whole series on the Bible and Health, not just one. But what we have is about 2.5 hours long, the Bible and Health. Dr. Tyler was great. I got all kinds of friends that are geniuses on nutrition and health and would love to be involved in that. I just haven't had time. I've been either busy or disorganized or lazy. Busy? Okay. Okay, here's msnbc.msn.com. Yeah, we commented on this earlier. Fossil shows how fish made the leap to land. 375 million year old remains look like a cross between fish and crocodile. Artist's conception shows what the ancient crocofish creature known as Tiklalik Rose might have looked like 375 million years ago. Well, first place, this is an artist's conception, okay? They don't know that this is true. Secondly, when you find bones in the dirt, all you know is it died, okay? You don't know that it had any kids. And you sure don't know that it had different kids. Thirdly, if a fish evolved legs and began to walk on the land, who would it marry? I mean, Okay, 750 for who is a Sala. Good, okay. This fish that's up on the land now is going to be looking back at his wife saying, hey, come on up. She says, I can't. I haven't evolved my legs yet. You come back. He says, no, I like it up here. It's neat on the land. Okay, goodbye, honey. Hope you find somebody.
Hurry up, please.
Duh. And then, what did it eat out on the shore? I mean, it's been living in the water for millions of years, and now it's up on shore. There's a whole new set of things. Does it have the digestive tract to handle this? I mean, did that evolve at the same time? Okay. And not just the legs to walk on the land, but you got to have the lungs, you know. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. And the eyes. See, it's very different looking at things underwater because you get chromatic aberration. It's just not that simple, okay? Evolutionists are guilty of grossly oversimplifying everything. Like, oh, that's no problem. Give it a few million years, it'll happen. Guys, think. Just think about it, okay? Not possible. So they said, here's a creature that has a fin that can do push-ups, the guy says. This is clearly an animal that is able to support itself on the ground. Well, no, this is not clearly such a thing. Now, it might have. There are several animals today that go out of the water onto the land, okay? The penguins do that, the seals do that, the alligators do it, the crocodiles, the lungfish. There are quite a few animals that do this. There are some catfish that can crawl on land for quite a ways. So it's not clearly a creature that can go on land. The coelacanth has the little arms before the fins come in. And the coelacanth swims like a normal fish, and it doesn't do any push-ups on land or in the water. It just is a fish, okay? So somebody has a hyperactive imagination. This kid was probably one of those that should have been on Ritalin, whoever made this article. And I'm against Ritalin. But for some people, that's, like this guy, that would have been perfect, okay? So that's my thoughts. As far as the Bible and health, you can call Dr. Tyler. Let me see if I know his number by heart. St. Louis, 636-239-2323. That's Dr. Larry Tyler, chiropractor friend of mine, a really smart guy on nutrition in St. Louis area. 636-239-2323. That's his office number, probably gone right now. But you can call anyway, just to hear it ring. Here we go. Doug, 1243 writes in, the question on the made in God's image thing reminds me. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. How come it's using plural terms like us and our? The angels never created, so they could be that. So what's that talking about? Well, that's where the us and the our, I believe, talking about the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Like I said, the word is never used, but the concept certainly is taught in Scripture. Probably the us and our is referring to that. And we have a Trinity. We have a body, soul, and spirit, a triune being. I've never heard anybody be able to explain the Trinity, you know, in a foolproof way. There are all kinds of illustrations, all of which break down at some point. You know, there's the story of the egg, which has three parts. Yolk, white, shell. But it's only one egg. There's the apple. Has the skin, the meat, the pulp, and the core. One apple, three parts to it. There is time as an example, like past, present, future. Space has length, width, height, a trinity. Matter has solid, liquid, gas. Three states of matter. There are many ways to, you know, ice, you know, water, ice, steam, okay? It's all water. Three different phases of water. I am a dad, a son, and a brother. All same time. No big deal. Only one person. We'll be back after the break. Get your questions into Dr. Dino Lott. Good evening, folks. Welcome to the final segment of today's Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live in Pensacola, Florida, April
20th of 06.
20th. And we're the folks who believe the Bible is true and the evolution theory is stupid, dumb, retarded. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. And Richard, are you on the phone there? Richard is going to tell us about the Trinity book, the explanation for the Trinity. Got a six-second delay probably going through all the switching, so come on in, Richard, whenever you're ready. I'm getting a ring back in here. Robert, are you getting that too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. There you go. Richard, you there?
Dr. Hovind, were you just calling for me?
Yes, sir. I'm getting a ring back.
My monitor in the control room is very critical. It's difficult to hear you, so I'll be brief. I don't want to take much of your time, but The explanation of the Trinity is very difficult, of course, and when you compare it to people find that it's a little subtle and a little different, you know, the body, soul, and spirit thing, okay, fine. But if you have any bent towards science at all, as of course you do, but if you've studied the behavior of electricity, in that you will find, in my opinion, the image of the character of God. And I won't go into detail except to say that I worked 25 years on writing a book on this subject, and I think that your listeners especially would find it interesting. It's entitled Einstein, Money, and Contentment. In the book, in the first section, of course, deal with the laws of electricity and how they relate to the laws of nature, and I tie that together in the contentment chapter, part of the book, with how our lives can be fully fulfilled and content if we recognize that God has made himself very clear in all aspects of natural law and the universe, but especially in the irrefutable, not hypothetical, but those laws that govern the behavior of electricity. And if your listeners are curious about it, the book is offered on our website, www.truthradio.com. I couldn't resist
okay.
breaking in and letting your listeners know about that.
Awesome. Sounds good.
I'll let you go on with your program. Thank you.
How many different books do you offer, Richard?
The book is available. If you scroll down on truthradio.com, you'll see a picture of the cover. And just click on that. It will take you to the Author House Publishers website where the book can be ordered. Truth Radio doesn't offer it, but we do provide that gateway through the website.
Okay. Well, that's great. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, brother. All right, folks, that was Richard, runs truthradio.com. You can join us on the program here in the 7 minutes we have left, or 12 minutes, whatever. 877-479-DINO. Is the phone on the hook? Nobody's called today.
It's on the hook.
Okay. Not the white one. Don't hang that one up. Yep. Good. Or you can go to instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. DrDinoLIV. I never did finish reading this one testimony that was the frowny face, did I? Yeah, got hung up on this one before too many instant messages came in. This is from a concerned individual. No name, no return address, no phone, no way to get a hold of him. But it says, I am saying this out of anger and spite. However, I do believe that people are entitled to their own opinions, so I ask for your forgiveness for this next comment. Whatever that means. What is wrong with you people? You are so stupid, it is hard to comprehend. And the only thing scarier than this stupidity is the fact that you are trying to spread this illness and plague, if you prefer. Or plague, if you prefer. However, Joe, did you want to be on the program? My wife walking through here? Come on, Joe. However, I believe that you will be happy to know that I am being forced to rethink natural selection, since your existence seems to be an anomaly to this theory. Please post this comment. He's rethinking natural selection because he thinks I should have been selected against. okay, well, Mr. Brave Anonymous here, Anonymous Coward, call into the program. I'll be glad to talk to you. But to say you're stupid and it's scary that this stupidity is that I'm spreading this plague is a totally generic accusation. What? Give something specific, please. They never do. How many of these testimonies have we read, and they never give anything specific?
We just now got another email saying you were an idiot, and just stopped there. I emailed him back and tried to antagonize him to call in.
Please call. I'm paying for the phone call. We're paying for the program, paying for everybody's time. What do they got to lose? Free. I mean, you can't beat a deal like that. 877-479-DINO. I'm an idiot and I'm stupid. I hope that's not true. I mean, my daddy taught me a whole bunch of stuff. I can build an entire house, bottom to top, everything. Electrical, plumbing, heating, framing, brickwork. I don't like brickwork. I can show you some of the brickwork I did on this building. You'll be able to notice right away. Say, Hovind, you better stick with framing or something else. You know?
How about roofing?
I did roofing for 15 years every summer while I was teaching school. I was unemployed. over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a ton, and almost every year I'd have a roofing company, and I was in charge. You know, we roofed a lot of houses. You've done a bunch of that, too.
Yeah.
I never did the flat, you know, tar and, you know, that kind. Have you ever done that kind?
Yes.
In the summer?
I've done EPDM, tile, copper.
How's the copper roofing? I've never done that.
It's mainly in California, but...
Got to be expensive.
Yes, very expensive.
But it would last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Except until the earthquake comes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I guess that would be bad. But yeah, I mean, I taught science 15 years, taught math. I can, you know, understand and explain algebra, geometry, trig, biology, quite a bit of anatomy, a reasonable amount of chemistry, earth science, physical science. Why do they just say I'm stupid and leave without giving me something specific? I've had 130 cars. I can rebuild just about anything on a car. Rebuild the motor, the transmission, the wobblator shaft, the high-speed muffler bearings, the Knutton valve. I don't like laying carpet. I will have to say I don't like that. I mean, I can do it. I don't like drywall, finishing drywall. I've done a ton of it, but I just don't. It's not my preference, you know. I've done mountain climbing, rappelling, fairly well-rounded, you know, knowledge base. But all they say is you're stupid and it's scary that stupid people like you. So, concerned individual, call in. We'd love to straighten you out. This article I've been trying to get to for weeks. This is awesome. Los Angeles Times from latimes.com/news/print edition/LA-NA-evolution. 31, March 31st. So that's what? 2 weeks ago. Titled, Testing Darwin's Teachers. Sometimes disruptive but often sophisticated questioning of evolution by students has educators increasingly on the defensive. Not a caller for the program?
I'm just letting us know that our phone lines are working.
Phone lines are working. Okay, good. This one's by Stephanie Simon, the Times staff writer, a couple of weeks ago. Monday morning, room 207, first day of the unit on the origins of life. Veteran biology teacher Al Frisbee switches on the overhead projector and braces himself. As his students rummage for their notebooks, Frisbee introduces his central theme, every creature on Earth has been shaped by random mutation and natural selection. The challenge begins at once. Question from a student. Isn't it true that mutations only make an animal weaker? Sophomore Chris Willett demands. Because I was watching one time on CNN, and they mutated monkeys to see if they could get one to become a human, and they couldn't. Frisbee tries to explain that evolution takes millions of years, but Willett isn't listening. I feel a tail growing, he calls to his friends, drawing laughter. Unruffled, Frisbee puts up a transparency tracing the evolution of the whale, from its ancient origins to a hoofed land animal, through two lumbering transitional species, and finally into the sea. He's about to start on the fossil evidence when sophomore Jeff Paul interrupts. How are you 100% sure that those bones belong to those animals? Couldn't it be just some deformed raccoon? From the back of the room, sophomore Melissa Brooks chimes in. Those are real bones that someone really found. ? You're not making this up. No, I'm not making this up, Frisbee says. At least half the students in his class of 14 don't believe him, though, and they're not about to let him off easy. 2 decades of political and legal maneuvering on evolution has spilled over into public schools, and biology teachers are struggling to respond. Loyal to the accounts they've learned in church, students are taking it upon themselves to wedge creationism into the classroom, sometimes with snide comments, but also with sophisticated questions and a fervent faith. As sophomore Daniel Reed puts it, I'm going to say as much about God as I can in school, even if the teachers can't. Such challenges have become so disruptive that some teachers dread the annual unit on evolution, or skip it altogether. Yay. In response, the American Association for the Advancement of Science is distributing a 24-page guide to teaching the scientific principles behind evolution, starting in kindergarten. The group also has issued talking points for teachers flustered by demands to present both sides. The annual Science Teachers Convention next week in Anaheim will cover similar ground with workshops such as Teaching Evolution in a Climate of Controversy. We're not going to roll over and take this, said Alan Leister, the executive producer of the journal Science. These teachers are facing phenomenal pressure. They need help. Let me interject the Hoven comments here. Yes, Alan, they need help. Number one, they need to stop lying to support their theory. There are 55 some or so lies in the textbooks that are used to support the evolution theory. Stop using those as evidence for evolution. You're right. The teachers need help. They need help from somebody with a brain in the publishing aspect, like Science Magazine, that you're a publisher for, executive producer. Alan, stop using lies as evidence for evolution. We can go back and look at all the back issues of Science Magazine and find dozens and dozens of lies they have told over the years just to try to get students to believe this theory. Your Science Magazine, Science Journal, teaches kids the embryo has gill slits. Alan, that was proven wrong in 1875. Get up to date, would you? They're still teaching the whale has a vestigial pelvis. That is baloney. That's what this teacher here in the classroom was doing, showing the evolution of the whale from hoofed land animals through two lumbering transition species, finally into the sea. Have they thought about how dumb that is? You know the difference between a whale and a cow?
A lot.
Lot, like millions of differences, okay? Goes on to say, about half of all Americans dismiss as preposterous the scientific consensus that life on Earth evolved from a common ancestor. Okay. Alan, or whoever's writing this, Stephanie. Stephanie, I would not say it is a scientific consensus on evolution. There are tens of thousands of scientists, people with PhDs in all sorts of scientific fields, who do not believe in evolution. So to say it is a scientific consensus is, what's the phrase, journalistic
bias.
There you go. Oh, program's up. I'm not going to finish this article again. Robert, it's the second time I try. I'll try again tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow, folks. Get your questions to us right away at Dr. Dino Live, and we'll sit on them till tomorrow. See you then.